years ago, Sue Grafton published a mystery novel called A is for Alibi. The book sold enough copies to justify B is for burglar and then C is for corpse. By the time she was at G is for gumshoe, the Alphabet series, starring a tomboyish private detective named Kinsey Millhone, had become a reliably best-selling franchise. Earlier this year, I talked with Sue Grafton about her collection of short stories called Kinsey and Me, meant to tide readers over until next month's W is for Wasted. Sue Grafton, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being with you.
So there are tens of millions of copies of all of your books about Kinsey Millhone out in the world. But for listeners who aren't yet acquainted, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, when I began this series in 1982, she was 32 years old. She has been married and divorced twice. She owns one dress. She cuts her hair with a pair of nail scissors, cusses like a soldier, very down to earth, and has a very wicked eye when it comes to observing human nature.
So she's kind of an every woman, except that she runs several miles every day and solves crimes.
She jogs. It isn't running. Even she would admit that. But she eats a lot of junk food, which I can no longer do myself.
When the first one came out in the early 80s, it was kind of a big deal because your detective was this woman, this young, tough, modern woman. Did you have a sense as you embarked on this that the time was ripe and maybe overripe for such a detective in fiction?
No, I can't claim any prescience. I can't claim I was even aware. I just didn't realize there were no female private investigators. I was raised reading male hard-boiled private detectives. So when it came time to write a mystery novel, a crime novel of my own, my only thought was to play the central part myself, because I was already out of my element. I didn't know what a private investigator did. I had to read up on police procedure and California criminal law and ballistics and toxicology. So I figured my only area of expertise was being female, and I better take advantage.
You started writing the Kinsey Millhone novels as a means, I read, to escape a successful career in TV writing, which is usually with the opposite of how it usually goes, where people who can't make money writing novels say, okay, I'm going to go into show business now. But you didn't like making a lot of money in Hollywood.
No. Well, I had done a stint in Hollywood because my second published novel, which is called The Lolly Madonna War, sold to Hollywood, and that was made into a film that came out in 1973. Fabulous cast. It was Rod Steiger and Robert Ryan. And
the young Jeff Bridges, right?
Yes, indeed. It was really a wonderful cast. It was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot in Hollywood, but I am just not a team player. I do not like to write by committee, and I don't like help. So in Hollywood, if you're not interested in collaboration, you just have no business being there, and it took me a while to figure that out.
Whereas writing novels, you are in control. You're the screenwriter. You're the director. You're everything.
I know, which is good news and the bad. When the work is going well, there's nothing better. When I'm stuck, I wouldn't mind having a small committee at my feet to help me through the rough passages.
There has never been an American TV series or movie version of Kinsey Millhone. How come?
Oh, well, for the very reasons I just detailed, I worked in Hollywood for 15 years, and I was guilty of adaptations, probably trashing the work of writers far better than I. I know what they can do. I know how destructive that system can be. For one thing, the first time that character is cast and an actress steps into that role, half my readers will be outraged, and I will also. Plus, they don't buy a book. They buy the rights to the character. And even in 1982, here's how those contracts read. They buy a character throughout the universe in perpetuity in technologies known and technologies yet to be invented. It's like, don't think so.
So you leave that money on the table knowing you're paying some financial price, but
It's no price at all. I tell you, my peace of mind and my good nature are worth quite a bit of money. I just don't want that system coming after me.
This A is for, B is for, C is for thing was clearly a brilliant scheme to invent, to start out with 30 years ago. Have you regretted it ever along the way of, oh, my God, I got to get to Z?
In some respects, looking back, I think what nerve, what cheek I had at the age of late 30s when I started that book, thinking I could do 26 novels.
Yeah.
For one thing, I had not even sold A is for Alibi. I sold that book on the basis of 65 pages, never having written a mystery in my life. So I was flying by the seat of my pants. And when A was published, I had no guarantee that there would be a B is for Burglar, let alone C is for Corpse, D is for Deadbeat, and on down the line.
And how sad it would have been if you'd ended with E or F.
Exactly. I was happy to get through those letters. I was always waiting for them to say F is for failure. So yeah. I was really happy.
D is for done.
In fact, there was a review of B is for Burglar that said B is for boring. And I thought I would faint. However, I did survive that wicked comment.
I really don't envy you having to come up with X and Z.
I know. X, see, I am hoping that by the time I write X, somebody will invent an entirely new crime. I hope it's going to be really good and juicy and nasty. And then I can just set out on that road.
Maybe. Well, there's some drugs, you know, Xanax or...
Yeah, Xanax, the killer Xanax.
So in you know, 3 years, you're going to be done. Do you have plans for post-Kinsey Millhone novels, or is that it?
It's going to be 8 years. It's been taking me 2 years per book. So when I get to X, I'll start that in 8 months after I get out of the institution they check me into for finishing this book, you know, after I get my meds adjusted. And I don't know what X is. I don't have a clue. I know even less about Y and Z, but surely something will occur to me between now and then. And after that, I will be close to 80 years old, and I personally think I should be allowed to take a long nap and then party.
There you go. So like Philip Roth, you're gonna call it quits at 80.
I don't think so, because I don't know what else I would do with my life. I agonize through these books, and I pray, it's like every day, please let me get to the end of this book. Then I get to the end of the book, and I have about 4 days of wild freedom. I can go to the grocery store, like at 10 in the morning. And after I do that for about 3 days, I think, this is so boring. You know, it's like life has no meaning and no purpose, so I have to come back to my machine.
So I guess it's like Dr. Johnson in London. When you're tired of writing, you're tired of life, and you're not tired of life yet.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Sue Grafton, thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Sue Grafton's new novel is W is for Wasted. It comes out in September, and you can hear an excerpt at studio360.org.
The more you live, is the more you learn. The more you live, is the more you learn.